From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, August the 31st, 2010. Every week, Directions Media brings you the most current news, trends, and opinions on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week, we'll take a look at why map data is sometimes taken for granted, and the hype surrounding location-based services. What would happen if we removed the map? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Learn how to increase productivity with ArcGIS 10. Register to attend a free seminar near you. For more information, visit www.esri.com/10seminar.
Well, a listener wrote to us saying, it would be interesting to hear you talk about why map data is taken for granted in all the LBS hype. Remove the map, and our listener kind of left it there. What he wanted to do for us was to really tackle the issue of, are maps important? Or are people taking it for granted? What would happen is some of these more common map apps, if you didn't have mapping technology. And I have to say that when I first pondered what we would talk about this, it took me back, well back 20 years, into 1990, when I first saw a navigation app for the vehicle. And this was on a visit to ETAC, a company that was later acquired by Teleatlas, which had the very first in-vehicle navigation systems. And it was the typical thing that you would see back in the day, which is a green screen, a spaghetti type of map, kind of sat in the car, big and clunky. And my first thought was, this is a total distraction. At least the position of the map at that point was completely made the driver look to one side, look down, and throw a person off. Well, nowadays, things are obviously a little different. The personal navigation device is mounted somewhat near the windshield or on the dash. Would voice commands do just as nicely? Is the map a distraction still? And again, we'll go through a number of the apps, not just navigation, but that's where I'm going to start and say that I was probably wrong at the time. I think right now I like the map. I like the perspective. And it's not that I need to see my exact location or need to know how far I am from where my destination is. But it gives me the feeling of perspective on the road. And in today's PNDs, we see a 2-inch screen, a 3-inch screen. It's off to the side. It's not necessarily a distraction. And it gives me a different perspective. So I'm going to start there, Adina, let you chime in on what your perspective is on this type of an app.
Okay, I'm going to use a different word. I think what that map gives you is context. It gives you context for the spoken voice directions or even the step-by-step directions. Take a left, take a right, go this far. And I'm going to step out of the car and go to some other modes of motion and look at cue sheets. And I use them for two different sports. I use them for cycling and I use them for running. And they're terrific for that step-by-step, take a left, take a right. Nobody would argue. The problem invariably is what happens when you fall off of those directions and you have to get back on course. That's when you need the context. That's when you need the map. And I have had many conversations with runners and cyclists who really want both. On one side of the sheet, they want the cue sheet with the step-by-step directions. On the back, they want the best and most detailed map you can give them for the route, which sometimes is really hard since it may cover quite a long loop, for example.
Yeah, and I think the again, giving me perspective is always very nice. And some of the future apps that we will see, in particular car navigation, will be things that may control the vehicle itself. It may give you more of a heads up of what's coming down the road. And I think what we'll see in a next generation of PND is something where the maps will give you perspective, but also give you additional information. And this is where the question comes in for auto manufacturers, is they don't want maps to be a distraction, nor any other type of point of interest. But there's going to be have to some balance because there's going to be other things that you'll want to see in a display. And that kind of brings us to the next app, which is weather and traffic. These are common mapping apps where we actually I'm not sure we can do without a map and looking at the weather. If we want to view a map of traffic before leaving work, we want to see where the slowdowns are along the road. So in that type of a common app, I think maps are absolutely essential. It's not as if somebody could tell you whether there's traffic 2 miles up ahead. I don't know if I've got that same perspective if the map was gone.
Oh, I disagree 100% on this one, because I almost never look at a weather map. I hear the weather on the radio, and they say, in Boston, the weather will be X, and that's great. The only time I look at a weather map is if I want to check the radar to see how quickly the evil weather is coming, the rain or the snow or whatever, so I can plan my day around it. Other than that, the gory details, I don't care. For traffic, how many years did we only have traffic information on the radio, on the car radio? And maybe we function better now with the map and with the gory details. I wonder if it's really that much better.
That's an excellent point, because, again, same thing with in-vehicle navigation directions, that voice telling you which way to go is really that's all that's necessary. Again, those traffic updates via the guy who's flying around in the helicopter was more than sufficient. Let me move on to maps for social nets and communication. A lot of what we see these days are companies. We heard it last week, Facebook and Facebook Places. Twitter has implemented the location technology to see where your tweets are. We see them in Bing Maps. There's a Bing Map app that will show you the proximity to tweets in your vicinity. Here's a case where we may have overdone it. I don't know if I really need to see where my tweets are. But some of the applications, of course, in social networking have to do with check-ins and seeing where your friends are. And once again, I'm going to come down on the side of saying, if I just knew proximity, hey, you're around this area, that's just fine. I'm not sure I really need a map.
Really depends on what the goal is. If you just want to know if they're around and not interact with them, exactly where they are doesn't matter. But I think you're right, because I think if you do, in fact, want to go meet them, then you begin the conversation. Oh, I see that you just checked in at Kmart. Are you in the automotive section? I'll come by and say hello. You don't need a map for that.
And so that brings up the interesting question of scale. If proximity matters within a mile and not within 10 miles, and you remove the map, are we looking at something where we want the map for immediate proximity, that last mile, that last 50 yards? Would it help if in my social app told me exactly where you were and not, and I wouldn't care whether you're 10 miles away, but I do care if you're 100 yards away?
Well, first of all, it's very hard to get that granularity right now with the tools that we've got. So This is sort of a forward-looking question. When you're that close and you're actually trying to connect, that's when you actually have a conversation and you say, hey, meet me in the frozen food section or whatever it may be at the giant clock in the center of town. That's when you move to a landmark. And frankly, that can be an awful lot more helpful than a map, especially when you can ask folks walking down the street, hey, where's the big clock? Everybody knows that. Even if you're from out of town, you can ask somebody and they'll tell you where it is.
One of the things that it kind of just popped into my mind, are we too focused on mapping technology? Are we too interested in getting so much information onto the map, whether it's a tweet or whether it's a POI? And I wonder if that's a concern for the mapping companies, the Navtechs, the TomToms. They're racing headlong into, you know, head-to-head competition. We need more real-time data. We need more POIs. And I think maybe what the listener was getting at was, are we overdoing it, maybe? You know, is there too much information on the map?
It's interesting you said, are we trying to put too much on the map? We who look at this world through these geospatial glasses, I think many of us think the map belongs everywhere. The map is the thing. It is the communication device. It is the tool of geography and geospatial technology. The reality is sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, right? Sometimes what you really want to get at is the answer. I don't really want a map necessarily to answer the question, when is trash day in my neighborhood? But that's what I may get, even though it's not necessarily the best way to answer my question. And I think we, the geospatial technology community, needs to take a step back and ask that question. And this has been drilled into my head since some of my early days at ESRI, when one of the then new, now very well-known programming types, Mansoor Raad, made it very clear that a lot of times the answer is not a map.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was exactly right then, and I think he is more correct now. And I'll make one more statement, and this comes from my students and my course that I'm teaching at Penn State. And this theme seems to come up over and over again, this idea of too much information. And how do we present to the user just those three layers or that one layer that is pertinent to what they're doing? And how do we help them find it? Because in this gobbledygook of layers that we have named, they can't find it. And I think they're right on there.
You know, that's an interesting segue into the last topic I wanted to bring up, which is the issue of augmented reality. To me, augmented reality is like turning a map sideways. It's a heads-up display of information, and in today's applications, again, an iPhone app, a smartphone app, you're using the camera lens to point to an area, and what is displayed on the smartphone screen are points of interest, or is information about proximity to that point of interest. And I think that gets to your point where we're flipping the map in a different direction. We're not map in a true sense of a 2D cartographic map, but it's a map of items with information about proximity, and that is in itself a map. It's a different kind of map, but that's where I think some of these new generation apps are going to be taken, and we don't even realize they're a map, but indeed they are a map.
They are indeed a map, and what they're doing really is removing the interpretation of the 2D representation of the topic at hand. When you look at a map, you have to interpret it, and then, if you like, apply it to the world outside your car window or through your glasses. And it removes that. So the information that you're looking for is more directly connected to the world itself. And that may well be the answer for many, many things where the distraction of the map or the complexity of interpreting the map is really removed.
Mm-hmm. I have to relay this conversation I had with a man named Mike Leibold. Many people may remember Mike. He spoke at one of our location intelligence conferences. He's a senior researcher at the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto, and he mentioned augmented reality to me right off the top of his head when I had asked him about things to look for about new trends. But one of the things he mentioned specifically was a kind of augmented reality that is being tested for contact lenses. So essentially your contact lenses will be actuated by an electronic device maybe hanging on your belt that gives you a heads-up display, essentially augmenting reality through your contact lenses. And that just totally blew my mind. But essentially what it's doing, of course, is giving you – it's removing the smartphone from the thing and putting the information into your contact lenses. But what also got me thinking was back to our conversation about the heads-up display for personal – for navigation, which is how much are we going to put out there? How much is going to be enough to absorb? How much will the human mind take in itself of the reality in front of us?
And that's a really hard thing. I mean, we know it from just traditional cartography. How do we get our message across without too much information? And now we're sort of taking that to another level because, frankly, if you put that information in front of somebody while they're driving, that could be a life or death decision.
Yeah, hence the a lot of research going on at the automotive manufacturers and taking some of what we see in an in-dash display and putting it and projecting it to a heads-up display, however that may be. So these are really, really tough questions to ask, but these are all things coming down the pike in terms of what information, what spatial information will be displayed to us in whatever setting that may be, whether it's a heads-up display or whether it's on a PND.
Or whether there's no map at all.
Right, and I think that's the point, is what do maps look like in the next generation of these devices? We're not looking at our typical spaghetti maps anymore. They're just extractions of location-based information. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the ArcGIS for iOS app is now available for download from the Apple App Store. With this free app, you can leverage the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch to access your GIS data and promote collaboration in the field. For more information and to download the app, visit www.esri.com/ArcGIS for iOS. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at the comments box where the podcast is posted at Directions Mag or All Points Blog. Well, we'd like to remind you also about our Location Intelligence Conference coming up on September the 22nd in Washington, D.C. More information can be found at www.locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.